Lovely. Great to be with you. Thanks for inviting us. And can I bend this thing away?
Yeah.
Super. So have we got the words up of Psalm 126?
Under your feet. Sorry, there isn't much.
Oh, a little bit of technical arrangement here. Yeah, we're looking at the first. I've been tasked with the first four verses of this. It's a delightful psalm, actually. As someone who hasn't always got a lot of ability to hold my, concentration. It's a nice short psalm. I like short psalms. So we're going to read these first four verses. Shall we stand and read them together?
Yeah.
You've just sat down and got comfortable, and I'm just going to ruin it. Let's stand, because you might also have a different translation to the one I've got in my notes. So all together then. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Thank you. You can sit down. Anyone signing up for any of that? That's just great, isn't it? The captives, it seems to be a context where the people of God have come back from some exile one or other. They've come back and they're like those who've dreamed. It's like, can this be true? That there are those wonderful moments in life when things actually work out like you wanted or even exceed your hopes. And you think, oh, can this be true? You know, it's like winning the sort of spiritual lottery here. And mouths filled with laughter. You know, when was the last time you were crying with laughter? It happened to me with some friends when we, of all places, were in Ukraine. We were sitting around a table together and just the joy of God and fellowship and silliness, especially silliness. And we were just crying with laughter. It's just a great, the medicine of heaven. Our tongues with songs of joy. Not we will now sing. Songs that come from the well within. It's a difference, isn't it? Mm. We will now stand and sing. Lord, oh, yes. I don't know how to let this joy express itself. And then even the nations looking on saying, God, what's God done for these people? He's done not something nice. It says he's done great things. Great things. God doesn't measure out his grace with a teaspoon, you know. You know, God has a very big spoon. It does great things. And I spend some weeks in January each year just trying to align myself with heaven. Takes me 3 weeks at least to get even anywhere near that. I go away to Wales, I walk and I pray. And the thing that was just going round and round my heart the whole time was the greater things that Jesus spoke about. And I think we can live in a smaller place than God designed us for. And, you know, you may think, well, I don't, you know, this being filled with joy and all the things you're talking about. You know, if that's not you this morning, verse 4, restore, it's a prayer, restore our fortunes. That's how we get there, we pray. You know, I think it's James says, you know, you have not because you ask not. Perhaps it was Jesus who said that. You have not because you ask not. So, Lord, you know, if I can look back to times when I felt nearer to Jesus, more excited about my faith, then I need my fortunes to be restored. And so how do I do that? I pray. I tell you what, if you think of this in terms of a church, this church is popping, isn't it? And you know, I'm a leader. Apologise for that. And the sort of things we leaders sort of waste our time on, sitting there, we think, well, we need a good strap line for the church. You know, and it's sometimes chronic how you look at a strap line of a church, but you know the church. It's very different from what's on their strap line. I could give you examples. So we think, or we come up with core values and vision statements. We all do it. I expect you do it too. You know, and you spend hours and hours and you come up with something really pithy and punchy. But actually, this is what we need,
yeah.
Isn't it? This is, we need honey from heaven. And when I think about you guys, I always think in terms of bees and honey, bees and beehives. You know, you can be a church with serious vision statements and wonderful objectives, and God wants you to be like, you know, what do bees spend all their day doing? I don't know a lot about bees, but I know that they're hopping from beautiful flower to beautiful flower, gathering what? Nectar. Covering themselves in it, poking it, you know, and somehow or other these wonderful creatures take it back to the beehive. They're all doing it. It's all about the honey. It's all about the honey. And there are so many churches everywhere, you know, but there aren't many churches that are filled with the honey of heaven, where you walk in and it's not, oh, you know, they do donuts. It's, my goodness, what's this I sense as I walk in this room? The presence of God. What is it I'm feeling? When I'm with these people, some stillness comes over me, and I feel my focus is, it's like the people disappear, and suddenly I'm becoming aware of God. Did you know that the church is only a wineskin? Mm-hmm. It's the wine we want, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, who wants to own a beehive with no bees in it? It's the honey that we want. And I always think, you know, when I think about Faversham Church, I think that's what God aspires for you. And so is how do we get the honey? We need to, and that's all they do, as far as I'm aware. Bees are just go and get the honey. They go to beautiful places, beautiful flowers, you know, they keep away from the ugly stuff. And they go to where it's beautiful and they gather the nectar. And there's a myriad of ways that have been expressed this morning. Prayer, waiting on God. What we're doing right now, worshipping, singing together, being together, committing ourselves to one. There's so many ways we can gather the nectar, but what we want is the honey. The presence of God. And you know, my prayer is that you become a people of the presence. A people of the presence, where the sweetness of Jesus, you know, I just love those songs we sing about, you know, your name is like honey. You know, God, you know, something so exquisite about Jesus, that to be loving and overflowing with him. So I'm not even really getting into my notes yet, and I'm going to get in trouble if I don't. But a church like this, you know, you can keep your strap lines, but I want to be a church that's gathering honey. Does that resonate with anyone in the room?
Yep.
You're allowed to make little murmuring noises. You can, you know, that'd be great. That would be great. So this is a psalm of restoration. It's a psalm of restoration from some exile. I mean, let's be truthful. It does occasionally need to happen. That life can be a cycle. It's, you know, it's not like a straight line. Sometimes it's full of happy upturns. You know, in our family, we've had the joy of grandchildren, which I thought we'd never get. You know, I really began. I was longing for grandchildren. You know, it's real longing. And my children just really were late on marriage stakes and slow on babydom. And how wonderful. And then there was one little grandson born to us recently who we were told it had been lost in the womb. We prayed and it wasn't, you know, and the mother's a pediatrician, so she knows her stuff, and we were told it's gone, it's lost. And isn't God good?
Amen.
Yeah. You know, this is the realm we want to live in. So sometimes we have the upturns, but there's the mountaintop, but there's also the gloomy valley. There's the gloomy valley. And when you're in the gloomy valley... That, by the way, is the place where you grow, not the mountaintop. The mountaintop, where I prefer, is where we sing, clap, high fives one another, and you need those times. But the place I grow is in the gloomy valley. That's where the anointing oil of Psalm 23 comes out and all that. But how good it feels when the sun comes out again. You know? That saying, we've had such a warm winter. I must have had a different winter. Aren't they? They keep talking on the news about, you know, warmest winter on record. I've never worn so many t-shirts and my central heating and the bills and all that. Anyway, isn't it wonderful when springtime comes? Isn't it wonderful when the sun comes out? Doesn't it do something? And this psalm is about that. Lord, will you bring that back? Will you, but not to me, but to us, will you bring that back? And God allows those times, the gloomy times, but how wonderful when the life comes back. When, you know, it's like the tide coming back in. You know, there are tides in church life, in our individual lives, where, and God's behind these things. In his wisdom, he's doing stuff to make us more like Jesus. I enjoy it most when the tide comes in and I feel his love. I feel, anyone else like feelings? Some people are very rational and we need people like that. And then there's irrational people like me. I'm a feeling person. You know, I'm a feeling person. I hear God from here, not there. Anyone else? Put your hand up, that's you. More odd people. That's wonderful. We need to be. I hear God from here. So I think that must be where my spirit lives, somewhere down there. You know, I don't know where your spirit lives. I think some people's spirit lives here, and my spirit's here, and that's where I hear God. I don't know why I said that, but just a bit of spiritual geography for you this morning. Put that in your notes, okay? But what's true of us as individuals can be true of us as a church, that we have the highs and the lows. And when Jesus gets his pruning knives out, you know, when he performs surgery on our egos sometimes, that hurts. I'm telling you that from personal experience. Or we just can get weary of well doing, same old. Yeah, you're always very silent in these moments. How honest is this congregation? We can get. Do you know, I'm just speaking from my own heart here, and you can all pray for me, but sometimes I can get bored. Yeah, you're not giving it all away, are you? Not gonna get, we can get bored, you know. There are times when literally I can't sleep at night because I'm so excited with what God's doing, or something, you know, he's used me in a way, and that someone was blessed, and it's, you know, you just full of adrenaline on your bed, and there's other times you think, or sometimes I can be disappointed. Does that ever happen to anyone in this room? You feel disillusioned? Well, I felt God said this and this happened. I hoped for this and look at this. Do you know the shepherd of our souls is behind all these things? And then we have this dawning of awareness that actually he was there all the time.
Yeah.
That's what I want to say to you, really. He was there all the time in all of these things. And sometimes it's like he steps out of the shadows and says, well, I am here. And you feel, I don't know, excuse me, feel that you feel his love in a fresh way. But he was always there, even when I didn't feel it. Yeah? Restore our fortunes, Yahweh, like streams in the Negev. That's a desert, isn't it? That God can bring streams of Holy Spirit life into a wilderness or into a desert. And it can happen like that. You can pray and pray and languish and struggle and strive. But when God moves, it's just like that. And I want to say to you, if you're in that place of, you know, discomfort, disquiet, I tell you, he's coming, he will come. He's with you now, but maybe you're not enjoying it. But I tell you, the times of refreshing, and bless you. I was waiting for another one now. You only get one blessing for that. But, you know, streams in the Negev. Anyone like to be under that? You know? And of course, revival is when God gets carried away. Revival is when the tide comes back in and it doesn't wet your feet but blows your deck chair up the beach. And Lord, would you do that again for this church? Would you send, bring the tide in? Why am I saying all this? I'm saying because we're invited by this psalm to pray it.
Yep.
We're invited to ask for it, aren't we? Restore our fortunes, Yahweh, like streams in the desert. It's not, We're not passive passengers like on a bus to heaven. We are co-workers.
Yeah.
Co-workers, and we reign together with Christ. We are co-rulers. That means we're engaged in the machinery of the kingdom. And you know, some people could just be, oh dear, it's all going wrong. Well, actually, God wants you to be part of the answer and part of the solution.
Yeah.
He wants you to go get the honey. All of you. What a church this would be if you became a honey-focused church. I was going to be naughty and say, turn to the person next to you and look in their eyes and say, honey. And I thought, no, that could be misunderstood. But, you know, so God can turn desert wastes into gardens of delight, and it can happen just like that. But God never leaves us. I mean, one of Jesus' names, many names, is what? Emmanuel? What's that name?
God with us.
God with us. He's got that name for a reason. He's with you. Say amen.
Amen.
Under the heading of community life, the modern Western Christian, which is what most of us are, commonly, because Jesus spoke about abundant life, didn't he? Life more abundantly. Mm-hmm. And in the West, we have a certain way of interpreting that. I'll just sort of give you a clue in a minute of how I interpret that. But the Western Christian tends to think about personal well-being. Personal well-being, when we hear about abundant life, yeah? Let's be honest, as most of us have thought of it like that, let's be honest. But it's, you know, my happiness, my prosperity, especially if you're from cross Atlantic, my healing, my success, about spiritually, my ministry, or my job, my career, my family, you know, abundant life, my family, my career, my popularity, etc. But I think, you know, good though some of those things may well be, and legitimate may be in their place, but true abundance, I want to suggest to you, is only found in community.
Yeah.
Because God is all about community, and that's why this is important. This is, you know, the pandemic locked a lot of people out of this habit. People have become, you know, very cash about a church, but this is the place where we gather the nectar. This is one of the places we get the honey, guys. Even God is a community. He's a sort of uni-plural. That sounds better than Trinity, doesn't it? Cross it out your systematic theology and put uni-plural instead of Trinity. It's just fun. God is a uni-plural God. And we're made in his image. And if you stuck me in solitary confinement, I would go even madder than I am now. You literally go mad. You know, you go into your own personal hell. Shouldn't that tell you something, that an introspective faith is like going the wrong way? An inward-looking, me-blessed, me-focused. It's like that person's in solitary confinement. It sends you spiritually loopy. That it's the opposite. God's the God who flows out like a river, like an ocean in his case. It says, we. No, that's plural, isn't it? That's collective. We were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter.
Yeah.
I got saved. You know, I'd love to tell you my story one time. You know, I'm going to take far too long if I keep going off on my tangents. But it was 8 months before I went to church. Let you into a secret, because it's the last place on earth I wanted to go. I got genuinely and miraculously and powerfully saved. But about 8 months, I didn't go to church. And I was fobbing God off with a sort of, well, one day. And one day he spoke to me. It was virtually audible. And he said, if you don't go today, you never will. And it wasn't with a fluffy tone. And I immediately, I got on my motorbike as a young man, and I went to the only church I knew about that wasn't the dreadful one my mum dragged me to as a child. And my brother was up a ladder painting some windows. He goes, "Where are you going?" I said, "To church." He nearly fell off the ladder, you know, because you know, my conversion was very sort of, I suppose, alone in my heart. And as I went into that church, God baptized me in the Holy Spirit. And if I told you what happened to me, you'd be jealous for a week, the experience I had of God. But it was because I went to where the honey is. You cannot do this thing alone. You know, I get so cross when people say you can be a Christian but not go to church, or imply it, that's all by grace. Rubbish. I'm in Christ by being in you, with you. You can say amen if you like, even if you don't agree, but it gives you something to do while I keep talking. So my wealth in God is obtained through deep and healthy connections. Amen.
Amen.
With God, that's obvious, isn't it? Multi choice, that was an easy one. With myself, I tell you, it's been one of the hardest relationships for me to sort out. I think I'm getting there, but I am 64. I could respond in all sorts of ways to that, you know, with you, my siblings in Christ. My siblings, my brothers and sisters that I love so very much, you know, that the family of God, my connections, this is where the honey comes from. And with my fellow man, and I won't go there right now, but by my allowing the honey of Jesus to flow to my fellow man is a really significant part of what we're talking about. I'll give you a top tip. Anyone like a top tip?
Yep.
I occasionally give my congregation back home a top tip. Well, I consider them top tips. This is a nectar gathering technique. Now, don't put your hand up, but I'm ask you a question. You know, is there anyone here who feels spiritually dry? It happens. You know, we don't admit it at church, of course, but it happens. To be honest, I'm here because I know I should. If you're feeling spiritually dry, this is really simple. You're expecting something really complex and profound, aren't you? You find someone to bless. Find someone to bless. Pray about it. Look. Start looking. Find someone to bless and bless them generously. And then look for someone else. And don't stop doing it. Okay? That's how Jesus did it. You read Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and what did he spend the whole time doing? If you think of my bee analogy, I hope that's not annoying you. Jesus went from flower to flower, gathering nectar in a sense of doing good and destroying the works of the devil. He never stopped, did he? You know, Jesus' day job was doing exactly what I just said. Finding someone who needed blessing and blessing them.
Yeah.
Just beautiful and simple. If that's all you did for the rest of your lives, as this Faversham church is going to be filled with honey, it's going to be an amazing church.
Yeah.
And your life, you can have a quiet time to your hair drops out and not get what I'm talking about. But you start doing this, looking for someone to bless. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
There's a lovely story in the Old Testament which I think illustrates this. Can I share that with you? Elisha, you know Elisha? No, I could tell you a funny joke about Elijah and Elisha, but I haven't got that. Elisha, he met this destitute widow. She was, you know, ready to give up. I think she had a son from memory, and he was, you know, it was desperate. And Elisha stepped in, the prophet, and he instructed the widow to borrow as many vessels, any containers, as possible from all her neighbours. And he instructed her, she poured her small amount of oil, all she had, it's all she had, just a little bit of oil, and she poured all her oil into each vessel. And each of them remained full. And when she told Elisha of the miracle, he said, "Go sell the oil and pay the debt." She was in debt, she was in real trouble. And And you and your children, no, it's more than one, your children shall live from the rest. And so here's all I want to say out of that. It's a beautiful story, isn't it? The compassion of God to this widow. And the thing is, all the time she kept pouring, it never stopped flowing. You know, if I was her, I would have kept getting pots. I'd be like the Middle East, you know, with oil, like an Arab baron or whatever they, you know. But just all the time you're pouring, God will fill you up. To make room for what God wants to do in your life as a church, you need to start pouring.
That's good.
Yeah, that's a top tip, wasn't it?
Yep.
Good. My grandmother taught me that if you don't blow your own trumpet, nobody else will. So. That's how Jesus did it, and even hanging on the cross, he was doing it. You know, he led someone into the gates of paradise, the criminal next to him on the cross. While he was hanging on the cross, his life bleeding out of him in agony, he led a man into eternal life.
Yep.
It's one of my favourite stories in the whole Bible. And what an illustration of the simplicity of faith. That criminal, I mean, when he arrived in glory, he hadn't even opened a hymn book. Mm-hmm. Just the grace of God hanging on a cross as a deserving, well, you know, if anyone deserves criminal, but he was a criminal. Just wonderful. Thank you, Jesus, for saving him. We'll meet him one day. Mm-hmm. We'll meet him one day. And he also sorted out his mother's welfare. He knew he was going to leave his mother, who obviously Joseph wasn't around then. And John, your mum. Mum, John, sorted her out. On the cross, I think I'd have been distracted. So we make room for what God wants to do by giving us... Have I got time just to finish with a prophetic thing, I'm thinking? One of the things I felt as I sought God about this year is... and I'll share it with you, you can make of it what you like. But this year is to be a year of big, bold changes. And I just want to put that out for you. Not repeating the same old, and I'm not talking about cautious tweaks, minor adjustments. I'm talking about big steps, brave steps. Okay, and I speak to you as individuals, and share it with you as a congregation. And like all prophetic things, you sift it and weigh it and think, does that sit with me? If you want to strike oil, sometimes you have to drill down quite deep. And sometimes we only tinker. And sometimes God wants us to do the big, bold thing. Some of you might be feeling a sort of healthy sense of discontent. And there's discontent, there's negative, and there's sometimes... I said to you, God speaks to me here, because I'm talking about something that's been happening to me this first part of this year. Of suddenly things that used to make me buzz no longer touch my heart. Things I was doing, I no longer felt energy for. And I thought, am I backsliding? And I decided, no, I'm not. This is no longer current for me. I was hearing God from here. You know, and you might be recognizing a similar thing in your life. There's some things have come to a natural point of closure. And interestingly, things that I've been invested in, I won't go into the detail and bore you, but some big things, just completely outside of my control, are finished. That's right, isn't it, Trish? Completely just finished. I thought, how interesting. And then God spoke the word segue to me. S-E-G-U-E. Now, one of the ways God speaks to me is he uses words I don't know. And I've got an ever-growing vocabulary. He recently told me the word transmogrify. Have you heard that word before? I haven't. No. You know, and so you go home and look up it. It's a wonderful word. But God speaks to me words. He did it. I was in Croatia while ago.
Slovakia.
And he gave me a Slovakian word. That was neat. For someone who got 4% in his last French exam, they made me do the exam again, I got less. Same exam. That was at school. God gives me this word, but the word segue, it means to make a smooth transition without interruption from one activity, topic, scene, or part to another. It's a seamless transition. Because so many changes in life can be painful, difficult, anxious, disruptive, yeah, like moving house or something. And God said, just gave me this word of a seamless transition. And so this is year of big decisions, but not because of failure or disappointment, but because of God's spirit leading. Mm-hmm. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And Tricia and myself, we've been recognising this in our own walk. You know, we talk about bang up to date stuff with you, and we've made some big and bold decisions. And one thing I've learned about trying to partner with God is, you say, what should I do? What should I do? When should I do it? And again and again, I've always found He waits for me, or you know, us, to make a decision, and then He speaks. And sometimes it may be saying not yet or no, but it's this or yes and that. And so we actually didn't hang around. We sensed, heard from God. We've made big decisions. I mean, life-changing decisions in our hearts. Almost instantly, a massive door of opportunity has opened to us. And I thought, wow, we haven't stepped into it, but it's open. And there's something has come alive in my spirit. And I think that's something that God wants to do this year. And I don't believe that's a personal thing. And I keep seeing other people are making these big, bold changes this year. Big, bold changes. And it's a bit like catching a wave. If you've tried, I can't surf, but I lay on the board and try to catch a wave and come in. It's very exciting. Any of you have done that? Really ought to try. But you have to catch the wave. You have to catch the wave. And it's possible, and I think it's the easiest thing in our spiritual life, and I'm finishing now and I'll ask Trish to pray, is we can just keep on going because it's the safe thing and it's all we've known. As a church, carry on doing the same things, me in my own personal life doing the same things. Actually, it takes sometimes, no, I really believe in a living God who speaks. And I believe that my actions can open windows of heaven. And I believe a whole lot of honey is going to be released to Trish and I. A whole lot of honey. But He would have blessed us, but it would have been like on a lower orbit. And I just say, if that resonates with anyone or any of you, even if it's one person, I'd like to invite you to stand. This is, I'll close this off. If you feel, yeah, something of that resonates with me, do you want to stand up right now? Trish, if you come up, I'm going to ask you to pray. Don't worry if that's not you, it might come. But I felt it would be relevant to more than I, so I'm going to just ask Trish to pray, and God bless you.